Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, folks, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Wire basketball podcast as I slide into my chair here. Check
that's
us out.
The way
that's how it is. I didn't want to lean over and fall, man. Like, got to get the good position here at the table. MWWire.com is where you can check out all of our stuff, including New Mexico fans reacting to the win. Good on you. We'll talk about that. Eli Becker, how you doing, Eli? The Wolfpack dream of 20% rate of going undefeated is poof.
It's gone. Yeah, I'm still recovering from last night's Bears loss. So I'm still coming back from that. But yeah, this is a good change of pace. So that's good.
Not to say anything, but my Cowboys won. So yeah.
Oh yeah, man.
Barely, but the Texans look awful. I'm like, oh, geez, come on. All right, this is not football. This is college hoops. So clearly, the power rankings we've done, the write ups we've done about Nevada. Not that it's been boring. Because it's not been boring. The order has been just a mess, and we just kept it the same mostly. But now we got some excitement.
Oh, yeah. A lot of movement this week.
A lot of movement because, well, league play starts. So we can actually know a little bit because who beat who or who beat whom. Which one is it? I don't know. But people have lost. A couple things we know. Nevada's – here's the thing. Let's just start at Nevada game. Let's not jump around and get to it. Let's start right away because that's what people want to hear. 85-58. Nevada was a – what were they? Shoot, I had 16 – 17-point favorite, KenPom, I believe that's what it was.
I think KenPom had it maybe at 15. But it was somewhere in that range, like 15 to 17.
I picked New Mexico would cover, but obviously not win, so I get half credit or something. But this game, like, we talked about it, like, multiple times. Nevada can't get behind 10 to 15 points and win every single time, even for how down we think the Mountain West is, because it's not really good. There's not many good teams at the moment. Maybe New Mexico will come into play and improve. And proved a lot of us wrong. UNLV looks much better. Better, I guess. They've been playing quite well. But I didn't. If we were to expect a team, we never thought it would be New Mexico who would not only get a lead, but hold on to the lead. We figured maybe, at talent-wise, at San Diego State, maybe New Mexico. But I thought they were a little bit farther on the list, right?
Yeah, and it was almost wire-to-wire for New Mexico, too. Nevada led 2-0 a little bit more than a minute into the game, and then that was it. And I still thought that the Wolfpack had a run in them at least at halftime when they trailed by double digits, but it just never came. And the Lobos secured this major victory. I didn't completely rule out the idea that the Lobos could pull off this upset because they had been playing better defense lately, but to do it in the fashion where they knock off a top 16 by 27 points, it's just not something I would have ever guessed.
Well, a couple things too. What's also awesome or ironic is that the huge comeback New Mexico or Nevada had at New Mexico was basically 2 years to the day, and then no comeback, clearly. Yeah. And this one, and that's kind of cool to happen. But also, those uniforms, amazing,
oh, yeah,
right?
Those are fantastic, yeah.
They said it's a one-time deal. It cannot be a one-time deal. They have to wear it more than once. Or something. Do something with it, right?
Yeah, I think Anthony Mathis, who led New Mexico in scoring that night with 27 points, he had already mentioned that he wants to bring those uniforms back. And if they work the first time, you know how superstitious some of these athletes can get. They definitely want to bring it back again. But yeah, it was an incredible performance by New Mexico. And I think the big takeaway here is that Nevada needs to figure out how to beat a zone defense, because this is something that's been an issue for this team as long as Musselman's been in Reno. And we can even look back. I was reading a Sports Illustrated article earlier this morning, which referenced the Washington scrimmage they had earlier this year. And the Wolfpack got killed at home by Washington, minus their best player, but I think a lot of that is due to the fact that the Huskies play solely 2-3 zone defense, and the Wolfpack just couldn't get it going on offense. And we see it again with New Mexico, who has transitioned to a zone defense because the man-to-man, which just obviously was not working, and that's a big hat tip to Paul Weir that he's able to implement a completely different style of defense mid-season and has already benefited from that. It's pretty impressive. But I mean, Nevada has to get this thing figured out, because otherwise teams are just going to run zone against them and they're going to have trouble scoring.
Well, they're not shooting their way out of it. They are 4 of 22. They, like, also Caleb and Cody Martin had probably their worst game ever combined, like, 17 total points? So which one? I hate it here. It says C. Martin, so I had to click the person to see exactly who it was. Caleb was 2 of 4. I knew one of them was terrible, 2 of 14, Caleb. But they only had Caroline, who did pretty well, but they missed too many free throws, which, okay, had they gone 22 of 27, six more points, that probably would have made a difference. It's still losing by 21.
Mm-hmm.
And they almost lose by 30, and they got to – here's the thing. To beat his own defense, either shoot well, which they aren't. If not, you have to somehow drive – pass and drive to make somebody have to step up to guard you to get somebody open somewhere else on the court that's closer. Mm-hmm. So I know Nevada likes to hang on the outside. They pass and shoot threes, but if it's not going, you think you got enough good guys, drive to the basket, make somebody double you or make somebody do a step forward or two, and then – maybe go behind the hoop to get a back door, get a closer shot, maybe move the defense to left or right. Somebody comes to one of the back sides or the front side to get a pass, just driving to the hoop, striking, and can just, they're pretty athletic to get it and go to the hoop because they like to go to the free throw line. I know it's different with the zone, but if you go and attack it, there's going to be three guys on you. You're probably going to get fouled if you just attack the basket and get up some shots. And so it's like you got to fix your offense to do something like that when teams are going to now. Just push his zone and say, all right, fine, shoot a three-pointer. We don't care. You're not going to make it.
And that's why I thought that Nevada was going to have a bit of a comeback because we've seen them move from more perimeter shooting to attacking the basket in recent games. I'm looking at the Arizona State matchup that they had. Wolfpack trailed by 15 in the first half, and the jump shooting was terrible. Caleb Martin finished the game 1 of 10 from deep, and they were just 3 of 18 as a team. But they started to pick up some momentum and really score some points when they attacked the basket. Caleb Martin still finished with 15. He did a much better job getting to the rim, and same with Jordan Caroline. And that is something that I think this team needs to figure out. Are they going to suffer a number of more losses the remainder of the season? And I know a lot of teams don't play like New Mexico does or has the talent and size that New Mexico does, but this zone is going to continue to give this team issues. And now that the rest of the country knows, at least at this point, that Nevada struggles against a zone defense, you know that some other teams are going to try to mix it in.
Yeah, at least either maybe not start with it, but go back and forth. Also, you turn the ball over, your -5 turnover margin. You go to the free throw line 10, 11 more times. There's a lot of things where it was a mess overall. It's like their worst game and probably worst defeat almost ever with Musselman, right? Up there?
It would have to be, yeah. I would think so.
So what about New Mexico? What does this mean for them? Because it's all Nevada, yeah, they should have won. They are the better team. New Mexico, which like I said, they're not very good because we didn't know who was good or not. Because you can tell me New Mexico, San Diego State, Boise State, like it's a toss-up essentially almost. We'll get a bit more clear within the league, like comparing actual, oh, we played the same team. We're in the same league. We know who's good or not, or at least better above you or below you. Is this a team that can stick with this the rest of the way? Because Anthony Mathis had 27 points. He had Vance Jackson, 18 off the bench. Mathis didn't shoot great. He chucked up 14 threes, happened to make 5 of them, which is great. And went to the free throw line. And you had like Colton Bragg nearly had a double-double, had a couple blocks as well. And also, not to mention, 6 overall as a team. Is this New Mexico team elevated? How high? Like, would they be better than Fresno or Utah State, who Nevada crushed at home in an opener?
Well, it's hard to say because we're still trying to understand what this New Mexico team is going to look like going forward. But I think there are a number of parallels between the trajectory of this year's team and last year's team because, as we know, last year's team really struggled out of the gates. They were just 2-8 to start the year against D1 competition. And then things really started to turn around once they played more up-tempo basketball and got after it defensively. And now that Paul Weir has implemented this different style of zone defense, which really isn't a particular zone, whether it's 2-3 or 3-2. I know Jeff Grammer even mentioned 4-1 because it's pretty disorganized right now, and they're still trying to figure out how to run it. And I think a lot of the players on this team just aren't really familiar with how to run a zone defense, but it clearly has worked in their first few matchups. So New Mexico definitely has the pieces to return to what we thought they would be heading into the year, and I think they certainly have more potential than San Diego State right now to meet their preseason expectations. But this is a 27-point win over a top 5, top 6 team. That's definitely a bit of an anomaly. to say the least. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely a sign going forward that New Mexico is going to compete, and I would not be surprised if they finish up with a 2 or 3 seed if this trend continues for the Mountain West tournament.
I think Grammer put out this is the biggest, largest margin of victory gets a top 10 team at home, something like that.
Yeah, I tried to do a bit of research on that, but the reference play index only goes back a few years.
He had it somewhere. I should look and see. Maybe I can pull it up right here because I was looking over. Yeah, Saturday's game tied largest margin of victory gets a ranked opponent and largest ever versus a top 10 opponent.
Wow. That's impressive.
Mm-hmm. Their last one against top 10 team was against San Diego State when they were 7th back in 2014.
Wow.
So there you go. I found it right. I actually happened to have the article open. Also for Nevada. Oh, real quick. Interesting note. Did you see where New Mexico jumped in KenPom?
Oh, I didn't see it.
40 slots. They're 184. They're now 144.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, and that trend can continue because they still are the underdogs in a number of these upcoming Mountain West matchups. I think that they could flip. So would not be surprised to see a New Mexico go on a similar type run as they did last year.
And also Nevada, 8 people just came out since we're doing this Monday. Nevada only dropped to 10, which is a little surprising. I thought it'd be maybe 12-ish.
Where do you think on a national scale this team belongs right now?
Here's the thing. They haven't played anybody. That's a problem, too. Like, I know Gary Parrish put him, I think, 14 or 15 in his top 25-1 on Sunday morning, I think it was. But, like, here's the thing. They struggle against – the defense isn't very good. They rely on outscoring people. But when their shots aren't falling, they don't attack the hoop. And they're always behind. But against even – like, losing to New Mexico is one thing. They're behind early, which – isn't shocked they're behind by 8 or 10 points, but they've been behind against Tulsa, Grand Canyon, USC, Arizona State, struggled versus Akron to win by 6. They're not a top 10 team.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably slot them more in the 13 to 15 range.
They have,
but then to play like devil's advocate here, and I know that Utah State isn't like a nationally ranked team right now, but Nevada just killed the Aggies to open conference play by 23. So, mm-hmm. That's what makes this team a bit hard to gauge right now. And I know that the styles of play are very different between Utah State and New Mexico and home versus away and all that. But you open up with a 23-point win against what was thought at the time to be the second best team in the conference, and you get absolutely slaughtered on the road. So it's hard to tell, especially with Nevada playing from behind in so many of these games. I think there's a lot that we need to still figure out about this Wolfpack team going forward, but I would probably slot them in the 13 to 15 range in terms of national rankings.
And it wasn't a fluke New Mexico won. It wasn't like they had a huge run, had somebody have like a – yeah, Mathis had 27 points, played very good. But like I said, he was 5 of 14. He wasn't going 10 of 12 from three-point range or something nuts. This was – yeah, he led the way in scoring, but they had 3 guys in double figures. They played good defense. They made all the free throws. And they shot okay from the field overall. Like they were only 37%. So it's not like they were off the charts 65 mm-hmm. and 50 from free 2-point, 3-point range. They were playing just well enough. Like it wasn't yes, there's a bad game by Nevada, but New Mexico forced a bad game.
Yeah, it's not like New Mexico just shot the lights out. It was just a beatdown.
Yeah, and that's what we were concerned. A big concern earlier is like, okay, there's gonna be a game where they're down 8-12 and they can't come back. Like this would have been different, say this game was, because they lose by almost 30, which is pretty bad. I don't care, it's whoever you lose to. New Mexico is okay, or anybody great or not good. You lose by 30 is terrible. But had it been, say, like a 10-point loss where it's like, oh, they were down, New Mexico was ahead between 6 and 14 the whole game and just held them off, that would have been better, I guess, but I don't know.
You know, there's a part of me throughout that night just following along with the game that made me think, I could see Eric Musselman at the podium during the NCAA tournament saying that was probably going to be the most important game of the season for Nevada, because I think they certainly need to change things, and this has to be a major, major wake-up call to this team losing by 27 points to New Mexico. And I think it could be a good turning point for Nevada, but if they aren't able to fix the issues that are lingering right now, there's no way that this team is going to live up to the high preseason expectations.
Yeah, they got San Jose State this week, which they'll be fine. But they go to Fresno, and then Boise, who looks to be maybe getting a tad better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are some tough matchups, too. I would not be super surprised if Fresno or Boise kept it close.
So I don't know. All right, we'll move on to the other teams because there are other teams in the conference, if you're wondering. It's not just Nevada.
how many points does San Jose State lose by on Wednesday to Nevada?
I need to do my picks and email those out. Right now, it's almost a 30. No, Ken Pom has 85-57. That line's, what, 28 points?
Yep.
Oh, man, that's a lot of points. I'd say at least 20.
Okay. Yeah, I think so too. If you're Gene Prelo, do you just immediately go to the zone, do you think?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Make them beat it. See if they can do it.
San Jose State has some big bodies too, so yeah. They won't be intimidated by that.
Now what you do, you can go zone directly, or let's play man. Well, I guess you don't want to give up easy baskets if that's the case, but maybe do a kind of fool them a little bit, do sort of a matchup zone kind of if that's in their repertoire. And then go to a full zone afterwards. Just do something like that where it's like New Mexico zone was not garbage, but like I said, it was unorganized and they've never done it. So it's not even like it's a good zone defense. It was effective, but it's not like it was organized or we're going to do what Syracuse does or other teams do when they want to run a zone because that's what they run all the time. So imagine when they play again and they play again in Reno, if their zone's actually practiced. So
yeah, exactly.
We'll see. I'd say at least 20. What about you? Same, are they going to win by more than 30?
I'm thinking 20 to 25 range.
Okay. That's a lot of points. Yeah. All right. So, you know what? We mentioned before Boise, San Diego State. San Diego State is. Why are they losing by 20 something points to Boise State, who was like, had Leon Rice's worst record at non conference play, I believe, ever?
Yeah, this one, this was almost the fourth game this year that San Diego State has trailed by 30 points. They were down 85-59 at the end of the game. This team is just a mess right now. The concerns that I had about their depth coming in has certainly been magnified to a certain degree because they just aren't getting production off the bench. Their defense continues to look lackluster. The games that they win are the games where they're shooting well from the three-point line. That is not what happened against Boise State. They're just 3 of 21 from deep. So this team has transitioned from, at least from what we saw from Steve Fisher's teams, is the defense held the Aztecs or kept the Aztecs in the games, and now it's the offense that is doing that, or in this case, not doing that, because San Diego State has suffered another 20-plus point loss this year, and you just have to wonder where this team is moving forward because they just look so disorganized and this team has a lot of issues.
Here's a weird thing. Like they play two, three, four, six guys off the bench in this game. They scored 8 points total, which is not good, but they also only took three shots for those 8 points, a couple free throws, but they shot like 3 of 12, but these guys combined for like over 60 minutes of game time. Why are they even playing if it's not productive? Why not keep in like McDaniels had 14 or Watson who had 24. I know Watson played 36 minutes, but Hemsley, he played bad, but 27 minutes. Like why, if your bench isn't doing anything, why keep them in more than like 8 minutes each tops, or why even go that deep? Like Sicko played 20, he played starter minutes more than Mitchell didn't have foul trouble. I don't think, did he get hurt or something? He's only played 13 minutes. But even if that's not the case, they played too many people on the bench. The bench doesn't warrant that if they're not scoring. Compared to Boise State, Alston right. had 30 on the bench with 29 minutes. He crushed them.
You're right about the depth issues here, especially with Matt Mitchell because he already had four fouls by halftime because he had...
Oh, there it is. I was looking at it. They had three people foul up. Three people. I missed that. I was looking at turnovers for fouls. I was like, wait, no foul trouble? No. But yeah, three guys fell out. That's ridiculous. I don't know. Is Boise State any better? Because they haven't. They're only 7-8. They are 2-0 conference play. Is it? I don't know. Because they've like looking who they lost to. The Idaho State lost. Illinois State. Drake not very good. Almost beat Grand Canyon. But I don't know. I think they're certainly improving.
They've played better the last four games. They had that 1 point loss to Marymount and the 12 point loss to Oregon before this.
Twice.
this better four game run, but I think at least at this point I like Boise better than San Diego State, and that's easier to say after a 24 point beatdown. But at least Boise State has some depth. I'm just really concerned about San Diego State's depth and their inability to play defense. And Boise State was 8 of 22 from 3 point range. That's not great, but that's still a number that does not sit well with San Diego State because they're really having issues defending the perimeter.
Better than 3 of 21.
Yeah, true. They
did. So there, it's we'll see how we'll have a rankings up today from everybody. I think I put Boise one spot higher than San Diego State, like 5th, 6th spot, I believe. So we'll see. Also, let's go to UNLV. Is UNLV actually going to be good, Eli? Because they have a couple good players on their team now, it seems like.
Yeah, well, I mean, they started off playing arguably two of the three worst teams in the conference. So that definitely makes things easier. They only won the Colorado State game by 2 points and the Wyoming game by 12 points. So I don't know. I think without Shakir Justin, I still have some questions about this team, but at least they aren't losing these games to the bottom feeders of the conference.
Is Joel, our guy Damon mentioned Joel Ntambwe? Is that how you say it?
Tomboy, yeah.
Tomboy, sorry. That's computer. I'm so terrible. I figured the N and T. I'm like, what are you doing? I got two options to say and I missed it. He is really good.
Yeah, he's been playing. I think he recorded at least one Player of the Week award this season. He's been playing really good basketball too, and I think he's stepping into that role that UNLV needed, was this kind of efficient scorer. He's shooting over 40% from three-point range and doing pretty well overall from the field. And that's what they needed. They needed some guy that can knock down some jump shots. He's also efficient from the line. So that helps out a ton. And he's also grabbing over 6 boards a game. So he's a bit versatile as well.
Yeah, looking at what he did from game one till now, he's increased minutes. Somehow, it's an interesting fact. There's an error here. When they played Oakland, he had 0 minutes, but was 1 of 4 from the field.
Ooh, that's interesting. Shooting from the bench, huh?
Apparently. But like, he's had single-digit games up until Illinois. Illinois on, he's had 13 double digits. His worst game is Bucknell, where he shot terrible 4 of 17. He's had 4 double doubles this year. And our guy Damon mentioned, is he Player of the Year candidate? Probably not. I'm gonna say no. But he's a player that, if like said, Justin's out, they've only beat up on CSU and Wyoming. He lost Justin James part of the game with ankle and shoulder issues. That's a tough combination. He had 1 block. But he gets about a block or still a game, it seems like, just about. But he's a guy where UNLV, without Justin, I know they're playing CSU, not very good. Playing Wyoming, not very good at all. So maybe we'll know a bit more after, who do they have this week? I should have their schedule ready. But
UNLV is at New Mexico and at Air Force. At Air Force the following week. They have a bye after the New Mexico game.
They're in New Mexico on Tuesday, I believe, this week on the 8th. So maybe that's something where see how New Mexico rebounds from that one because they got the big win. Who knows how. We'll just see how it goes. That'll be a good test to see if UNLV is actually improving because they're scared. Yeah, they have a couple. Their losses haven't been terrible either. And so, but with him playing as well as that, 31 points, multiple double doubles. But the increase of going from game to game, from the first 5 or 6 games to second half, he's probably one of the best players in the conference right now.
Yeah, and you've seen his role increase quite a bit, as you mentioned. If you look at the minutes he's played per game, that's almost, if you graph that, that'll probably look like a straight line a graph. But yeah. So that's good for UNLV moving forward. They need someone to step up and take a bit more of that scoring role. I'm very curious about how that Tuesday night matchup goes at the Pit because, as you said, New Mexico coming off that big win, they're definitely going to force UNLV into some jump shots, which has certainly not been the Running Rebels' forte. They're 287th nationally in effective field goal percentage and 280th in turnover percentage. So that is a big cause for concern against New Mexico, but they do rebound the ball really well, even without Shakir Justin. So I think that is going to be something to keep an eye out, and that's probably one of the most intriguing matchups this week.
Yeah, I think so. You have, that's on Tuesday night, ESPN2, 9 Mountain there at the, Dreamstyle Arena, but it's really the
Pit. That's right.
Come on. No, it's the Pit, right? It's not Wisepies.
No more Wisepies.
How many tickets are going to sell? Is it going to be accurate? I don't know. We'll see.
Yep.
Anything else from the past week? Utah State rebounded nicely over Air Force. Any other matchups from past week that are burning something in your head?
No, I think Fresno State's looked pretty good out of the gates. Both of their first two games are double-digit victories, and then they have a huge week this week because they have to head to Logan to play Utah State, and then they host Nevada on Saturday. So we will know a lot more about this team. And I'm looking further down their schedule. After that Nevada game, they go on the road to play Boise, and then they host San Diego State.
Yeah, so, Aztecs or nothing. Come on, no big deal.
Yeah, already writing them off, huh?
No, with Houston there.
It's a tough 4-game stretch for Fresno State, and so if they go 2-2, 3-1, I don't think they're going to sweep go 4-0 in that stretch, but if they're able to make a good impression here, I'm curious about Fresno State's chances moving forward. But this is a big opportunity for Fresno State.
Are they still the number two team, you think?
I think as of right now, yes, but I think a lot will be determined from that Fresno State-New Mexico game, which is further down the line.
Okay.
Right now, I would probably put them at number two.
I put New Mexico number two just because that's the best one by far. And yeah. So I see where they may not – it's dumb. It's like, oh, maybe they're not necessarily the second-best team in the conference overall. But at the moment, they have to be considered the second-best team.
Mm-hmm. It's just a lot of forward momentum.
It also depends how you do power rankings each week. Is it a weekly thing? Because if it's a weekly thing, Nevada should be like fifth or sixth because they lost. It's a, you know what I mean? You lose by 30 points to a team that had a okay record. But my thinking is it is a combination of what you've done the whole year. Not a little bit for the rest of the year, but I'm going like, here's what you've done so far for the year. You deserve to be ranked here or here. But then you have a performance. Like had they, say it was New Mexico by five. Still a good victory. I might move them up to probably still put them behind Fresno and Utah State. But they get that win, I'm going to put them at number two for this week and see. Don't blow up for me, Lobos, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, it all comes down to what your philosophy is. I guess mine is just ranking the teams in order of which I think, how do I phrase it, which teams would beat the other team on a neutral floor, if I were to guess, from this point moving forward. So, I don't know. We all have our different philosophies, but to the New Mexico fans who want me to slot UNM above Nevada this week, I'd say hold off on that for a little bit.
I did not do that.
It is one game, but I think there are definitely some good signs for New Mexico going forward. So it'll be intriguing. I think just every week we're going to have a new wrinkle that makes this Mountain West season so much fun. And by the time you look up in March, there's going to be a lot of different headlines that come around throughout the season.
How much are you going to watch Air Force Colorado State on Tuesday night? You can say zero. That's fine.
I mean, wait, what channel is it on?
Probably the Mountain West Network. I'm on ESPN. I should have the actual guide up here, but we'll look and see. I'm not sure. Here's what if I'm going to watch that game, can Nico have another 2020 night?
Yeah, I mean, he probably can. He did against UNLV, but
twice this year.
You have to feel sorry for him because that's the reason they lost, because he had that tough goaltending call right at the end of the game.
Oh, brutal. I know.
Handed UNLV the win. Did I mention on the last podcast that I thought that game was going to come down to a game winner?
I don't recall. I'm sorry.
I don't remember either. All right, we'll have to run the tape back at some
point. We'll see if that's the
case. Anyways, going back to your question, that is not the game that I really want to tune in on Tuesday night. I might stop by for a second and see what's going on. But UNLV, New Mexico, I'm curious to how that one goes. And then we have Fresno State, Utah State on Wednesday night. And whatever in the world happens with Nevada and State.
For the record, it's on AT&T Sportsnet.
Okay.
So where you're at, you probably can stream it for free, or it might be on your Root Sports Northwest, or whatever it's called now, the Gonzaga channel.
Yeah, I can get on Root Sports.
Okay.
Yep.
They used to be all the same. So that's where that's at. What's interesting about Wyoming, San Diego State, really quick, if Justin James says he's going to play, in other words, chat with the media, but he has those two injuries, which I don't know how he's going to get out of it, because it's just a tough break. And so if he says he's going to play, I don't know how well he'll play. Ankle and shoulder injuries, yeah. I don't know. It's Aztecs, if they're going to win, it's going to be don't screw up. Don't let your bench play. It's at home. They probably should win. But if you're wondering, Eli, you can get in for $4 for this game.
$4 for streaming?
No. To be there in person. If you want to be
To be in. Yeah, okay. I mean, that sounds pretty good.
Would you pay $4 to see that game?
If I were in the area, I would definitely be going to that game. Yes.
Okay, let's play a game here, the BPI, because this one is nuts.
Oh, boy.
I'm just saying, because it's crazy, so I brought it up. Uh-huh. Clearly, Aztecs are favored. We know that. What do you think the percentages of them being favored? Like, what's the 50-50, 60-40? What do you think?
I'm thinking San Diego State by quite a bit. I would say...
Okay, getting there.
San Diego State, 88%.
Not quite. 95.5%.
95? Oh, my goodness.
95%. So,
looks like BPI hasn't been watching the Aztecs lately.
Oh, I think maybe that and maybe the Justin James factor, if that's in consideration. But I would have figured like 87%, just because if James is okay, he can make some stuff happen.
Yeah, I think San Diego State does win this game with relative ease. I mean, Wyoming is just so decimated by injuries. I don't even know if there's a guy on the roster at this point who hasn't suffered an injury to this point. Justin James was the last guy I want to say that hadn't gotten hurt this year. I guess AJ Banks hasn't been hurt, but he was going to potentially be suspended, but that apparently never happened. It's a shame because Wyoming does have some good players on this team, but just so many injuries has caused the Cowboys to move all the way down the ladder, at least in my power rankings. I don't know if you have Wyoming 11th, but
I have them pretty low down there. I think I think I have Air. No, yeah, probably 11 because I switched San Jose Air Force a couple or San those trios Wyoming Air Force San Jose. I moved San Jose up because not this week but before because they've been playing close. But I think I do have Air Force Wyoming SJSU at the bottom.
If Wyoming does win this game on the road, what is going to be the dialogue from Aztec fans after this game? Because I've already been receiving a ton of Fire Dutcher tweets, like a ton of them.
That's going to amplify tenfold because especially if James barely plays and they lose, like if you have Justin James and he goes off for 28, 25 plus, okay, he could beat, like I said, if he's that good, he'll keep Wyoming in any game they play if he has a great night. And the way the Aztec defense has been allowing 3-point shots to go down, if he's healthy enough to score points, but if they lose, it might be, is it ready for, I saw a tweet for season ticket football, they didn't go back to football, which didn't end the season well either.
That's right.
Baseball, that come up soon. They're usually good at baseball. Tony Gwynn Field, come on. I don't know. I'd have to look, we'd have to curate Twitter, but if they're already wanting Dutcher gut now for being 8-6, why, he shouldn't be fired, clearly. Yes, they lose to Boise by a lot, and Boise's not good, but, man, it's, you lose to Brown, you lose to San Diego again, so Cal is not very good. It just amplified of what you said. If they're already wanting Dutcher got now, it'll increase by quite a bit because he shouldn't lose to this Wyoming team. So,
yeah, I don't know. I feel like a lot of people are jumping a little fast on this because around this time last year when San Jose was really struggling, they were 11-7 at one point, and they were two games below 500 after they got killed by Nevada, and that's when they started their run. So this isn't the first time we've received Fire Dutcher comments, but it's crazy how quickly this thing can turn around. It's because we saw it last year with both San Jose State and New Mexico. I also received some Fire Paul Weir comments as recent as 2 weeks ago, and now they're ready to build a statue outside. So I don't know. It's weird. I think everyone just needs to settle down and see how the rest of the season goes because as last year, if last year was any indication, these things can get turned around pretty quick.
Yeah, it's year two. He made the NCAA tournament, made a huge run to win the Mountain West Conference championship. So that'll probably be there because it's fans talking, but even if they were to go like 6-25, which is not going to be the case, he's still not going to be fired.
Yeah.
He'll be the coach. He'll be fine. It's just kind of stuck and frustrating for how great you were for Fisher, how consistent you were, all sorts of good teams, NCAA tournament teams, winning a couple games here and there. And you're at the program where it's finally built up where Viejas is good because before Fisher's, it was a dump. Nobody cared. He actually did it and brought talent and coached well. And you'd think, Dutcher, yeah, he's a different guy, but he's been with Fisher since Michigan days. So it's like, come on, he should have keep it going. You know what I mean? Not that it's going to be easy or hard. It's going to be both hard times, both easy times. But it's like, you're with this guy, kind of, you don't want to, I know you want to do your own thing, but you want to emulate what was successful at least and maybe add tweaks here and there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so anything else? So we got Wednesday, huge Fresno State, Utah State. Oh boy. How is that game on the Mountain West Network only? Oh, jeez.
I don't know. It's too bad, but as long as we have a place to find it, I think we'll be all right. But it's technically, yeah, it's too bad.
I guess everybody can see it because I guess you don't have ESPNU for some reason.
Yeah, it's weird. Like everyone complains about not having Pac-12 Network. I have that in HD and all that good stuff, and good then I don't get ESPNU. So
that's why I use my Fubo trial. I got somebody complaining about our Fubo TV trial. I'm like, hey, you can watch the game for free. Get a reply back. Nothing's for free. You have to put a credit card in. You have to cancel by certain days. I'm like, yeah, but it's like it's still canceled after the game. I've done that a few times this year. Signed up for football because I don't have CBS Sports Network because where I live right now, I'm saddled with DirecTV, and it's a complex package, which would be like a unit package, which means if I want to upgrade, it's not, $5 or $10 to upgrade to the next set of channels. It's like $22. I'm like, I'm not doing that for like CBS Sports Network or FX Movie Channel, which is nice, but No, I'm not paying that much. So I'll get free trials. I'll watch the extended 20-game recaps of on YouTube people put up or stuff like that for some of these. But just we're trying to hook you up, folks. Just yes, it takes a credit card. It doesn't charge it. Cancel, and you're done after the game. You know what I mean? Come on.
Yeah, that's perfect. See, the problem with me is I can do those free trials, but then I forget to cancel them.
That's
and
what,
then I pick up my my report to see all my Spaniards and stuff. Go, what is that?
What's this $50 charge to Fubo?
Yeah.
So that's why Eli use your Google Assist or Siri of some sort. Hey, cancel this on this day. I make sure right. I put in a note, cancel. I'm like, all right, I'm done. I canceled. So, but regardless, big game, Utah State, Fresno State at the Spectrum, Logan, Utah, league game. This you said New Mexico UNLV is your top game of the week.
Yeah, I think so.
More so than Fresno, Utah State, or Fresno, Nevada?
Oh, that's tough. Yeah, no, okay, no, Fresno, Nevada.
Okay.
I would say first half game of the week would be UNLV, New Mexico. Second half game of the week, Fresno State and Nevada.
Obviously, intrigue of Nevada or UNLV, New Mexico is because can the Lobos do it again? Not the upset, but continue that type of play and see how the different styles, see if they can do it. And if UNLV as well, UNLV Rebels are playing better. Can they go into the pit and get a big victory? The winner of that game, it's still early to say anything beyond like definitive, but that'll be a must game to watch on ESPN2 at the pit. A little bit later, 8 Pacific, 9 there in the Albuquerque. Get some Wise Guys pizza ahead of the game.
There you go. Sounds like a plan.
And first, let's to Utah State. We'll see what Sam Merrill does. We'll see if Deshaun Taylor, how well he's back from the elbow separation. But this is a game, like, what does Ken Pom have his rating on this one? It should be, I'm going to guess, like a 3-point difference. 5 points, close enough.
Let's see.
It's only
five. It's
5 points.
Okay.
So is Utah State, because they blew it versus Nevada, like, are they going to blow it versus Fresno State because of how bad they lost?
Well, I think Utah State was kind of tight heading into that Nevada game. They looked a bit shell-shocked, and I think that they'll be a bit more confident now moving forward. They have their first conference win under their belt. And Fresno State is just a different team than Nevada. Not to say that they're on a different tier or anything along those lines, but I think Utah State will be more comfortable playing in front of their home fans. So I think this will be a pretty competitive matchup.
Do you think they'll get the victory?
Utah State?
Yeah, at home.
I think so, but this game could go either way. It's probably a coin flip for me at this point. I think 68% favor for Utah State might be a little bit high. But again, it comes down to how healthy Deshaun Taylor is, whether he's looking good or not, and Utah State playing in front of their home crowd. I'll give the edge because of that.
I think so too, because we've seen the Mountaineers play for years. Home court is huge.
Yeah.
And so I'm guessing Utah State wins mostly because of that, but, well, partly, not mostly, but as a good reason why they'd win because they're home. So then we got, really quick, Nevada, Fresno, flip around. This is we'll see what Nevada does versus San Jose State, which they should easily take care of business. But if they're taking on Fresno on the road, Fresno, remember, back-to-back road game for Fresno as well. That's a evening game at I'm glad this Saturday the games are mountain time here. 1, 2, 2, 4, and 6. What was last week where every game started at 6 or 7?
Yeah, I think the earliest one out here in Pacific time zone was 6, I think.
5 or they're all within an hour of all these games starting on Saturdays. Like, spread them out a little bit. If you got some overlapping, that's fine. So,
yeah.
But that game's on ESPNU, 5 p.m. out there in the Central Valley. What's the BPI? Let's go for it. What do you got?
I will go with Nevada as a...
As you should?
As a 80% favorite.
No.
Tighter?
62.
Ooh, okay.
Hey, they're on the road. I think maybe because of the Mexico road loss on the road to Fresno. And again, I think it comes down to the same thing. If the Taylor's healthy enough, and can Nevada adjust if Fresno does a defensive method that doesn't suit well for the Wolfpack?
I think this has got to be at least one of the more challenging two-game stretches in conference play for any team. Going on the road to play Utah State and then hosting Nevada. That's a pretty tough two-game stretch.
They could win both, but they could lose both, but I don't think they'll win both.
Yeah, I'm leaning with you on that. I think they go 1-1.
And they're probably going to lose to Nevada because, again, Nevada, not to always go back to them, but this is the best, probably the best two teams in the conference, we think.
Mm-hmm.
At worst, 1-4, 1-3, maybe 1-2. At worst, 1-4. But I would say Nevada's got to figure some things out against better teams too, because not to disrespect New Mexico, but nobody thought they're... We knew they had talent because last year made the title game. They made a far run. Mathis, we know, is a good player. He scored a bunch of points that game. But Nevada has enough talent to really beat every team in the league by a little bit. Not to say they'll blow everybody out like Utah State, but we know they get their best shot every week because they're undefeated. They made the Sweet 16 last year, went as far as they did overall in the tournament and the past couple years, and there's all the hype around them. We know that's the case. They got to live up to that, and maybe getting beat by New Mexico by 27 points and not even really being close. The game was never close. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it got within 10. So I think the next two games are going to come out and just maybe they'll do the frustration against San Jose State, go up 25-6 and cruise to like an 80-60 victory. But that's fine. I don't care. I don't care what they do versus San Jose State. I want to see what they do versus Fresno State. And Fresno State has probably a little bit more talent than New Mexico, especially if Taylor's back there and he's good to go. Like, this will be – I want to see Nevada win, like, a close game, but not where they have to come from behind. I want it to be
I agree.
Anywhere from, like, a six-point swing either way the whole game. That would show me a lot more than, oh, crap, we're down by 18. Let's turn it on and score, go on a 26-2 run to win by 8. Mm-hmm. I forget how the Akron game played out, but a game like that where it's a few points, they're ahead by a couple, our team gets on a run, they get on a run. Not like it'd be NBA-style run, but where it's within a few points either way. And they have to come down and get a game, not a game winner, but the final 90 seconds really means something.
Yeah, Akron's largest lead was 9 with 5 minutes left in the first half of that game. And Nevada's largest lead was 9 with 4 minutes left. So it was pretty tight throughout.
Yeah, something like that. I want to see some more of those games. Like, or just roll the floor, like do what they did for Utah State. I want to see something where it's kind of, I'm asking a lot, I think, to either win by 30 points against a pretty good team. But I just don't want to see them be down by 10 to 12 points in the first 8 minutes. Mm-hmm. So like, if you're down by a couple, whatever. If you're down by 10 at some point, not a big deal. But I don't want it to be you're down double-digit points right away and you have to have a comeback. Because it caught up to them once, it may catch up to them again unless they figure out a zone defense to go up against. Or also, fix your own defense. Unless somebody, you know it's terrible, you know it's not very good, stop somebody. And Fresno, I'd give Fresno a toss-up chance to win this game, really.
Yeah, so you think they're capable of doing it?
Yeah, I why not? New Mexico beat them by 30.
That's true. It's tough to compare these teams because I think they're so vastly different.
They are.
I'm also curious if Fresno State wants to add some zone defense in there because I know that Justin Hudson is very much man-to-man oriented. He will throw some pressure in there from time to time. It's a good chance for Fresno State to make a statement, certainly moving forward, because they haven't, besides the Northwestern game, they really haven't beaten anyone of that much substance so far. No, they do have that loss to Utah Valley at home as well.
Yeah, the Miami tip-in loss was terrible, that neutral site game.
So yeah, it was too bad.
TCU's pretty good, but yeah, DVU loss, it's bad, but it's not like terrible. Like people are like, oh, that's terrible. Like it's not good, but it's also, you should have won that game.
Yeah, it's not a terrible loss. So
they, because they're 133 Ken Pom. I don't think they'll crack top 100, but let's wrap up on this. I know we'll talk about this probably every week about tournament stuff. Because a few publications had Nevada number one overall heading into this weekend game with no, legitimately zero top 50 wins on the schedule, no quadrant wins on the schedule. Let's just say they win out because that's still a possibility. They have one loss. Would they be like a 3 or 4 seed? Because remember, Wichita State a couple years ago, undefeated, got a 7 seed.
That Wichita State undefeated team got a number one seed.
No. Wasn't it when they play Kentucky? Didn't they get a low seed, or is that right?
No, they were one seed, and then they played Kentucky in the second round.
Oh, I apologize. I'm completely off on that. I thought there was something.
Okay. No, I forgot about that too. but you bring up a good point here because Nevada had a schedule that looked, at least in the preseason, I think we could agree that their schedule seemed to play out pretty well in terms of what they wanted with some quality wins, but BYU, they've been shaky out of the gates. They're 9-8. They've mm-hmm. struggled. USC is certainly not the team we thought they would be. Loyola Chicago, same with them.
Top 70 at least, though. Top 70.
Yeah, it's true. But Arizona State, another team who looked at least as recent as 2 weeks ago to be the best and only good team out of the Pac-12, they've lost, three of their last 5 games, including home losses to Princeton and Utah.
4 of the last 7, actually, if you go back to Nevada.
There you go. So, I mean, this schedule is falling apart a little bit. Grand Canyon isn't all that great. South Dakota State, you can only get so much out of them. They've already had 6 losses on the year. So the bottom has kind of fallen out of their schedule. But I think going back to answering your question, if Nevada does win out, I would probably still say that they can compete for a 2 or 3 seed, just on quantity of wins alone. But they're going to have to start beating up on teams to see their metrics improve, because that's a major part of the evaluation this year is efficiency and winning away from home. And if Nevada's not able to blow out teams that they should be blowing out, it's going to be a major problem. And we saw just what this game, what this one game against New Mexico did for both teams. The Lobos rose 40 points in KenPom, and Nevada dropped from 6 all the way to 14 just on one game. So they're going to have to start killing teams.
So what day was the game versus New Mexico? Was it on January 5th?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you go to the net rating. I was checking to see when it was last updated. I thought it was daily. So this is games through January 5th, which includes their loss. And this is a big metric for the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee. Have you seen where Nevada's ranked in this one?
I haven't yet, no.
29.
Okay, see, that's,
they went from
that's
eight,
already problematic.
They went from 8 to 29.
Yikes.
And New Mexico, really quick, they went from 163, rose up to 163 from 195.
Yeah, they're not going to have games like this moving forward. I highly doubt they lose another game by double digits.
But any loss will drop them down, because they'll have zero quadro one victories, unless Utah State could count in there if they beat them on the road, because what's a quadro one victory for RPI? Or I don't even know what it is anymore.
For a home game?
Yeah, is it still by RPI for the quadrant victories, or is it
it's
by
for
net?
NET. It's by NET.
So is it top 40 or something then?
Top 30 for home games, top 50 for neutral games, and top 75 for away games. And right now they have 0.
Because Utah State has a home game.
Yeah.
So their only chance for quadrant one victories would be at Fresno, at Nevada, or excuse me, at Utah State, right, I believe?
Home game against Utah State, if they rise into the top 30, which is very unlikely.
No, the road game when they at Logan.
Oh, for road games?
Yeah, rest of the way. Yeah, that'd be Logan 47, and then Fresno 63, so maybe one.
Yeah,
I'm looking at KenPom, not net or whatever, but I'm just saying if they're in that range, it's probably just a road game at Utah State, most likely.
Yeah. So
Arizona State maybe, because it's a neutral, but like I said, they've been playing terrible. Pac-12's awful. The Utah nearly beat Arizona. It's like, come on, how's that happen? Utah's crappy this year.
They probably find a way to end up with 2 or 3 quadrant one victories, but even so, that
dwarfs anything else.
Yeah, it is more concerning than I thought it was when you asked me just a few minutes ago. Because you're not going to pick up a one seed by just having one quadrant one victory. That's not going to happen. So, it's a shame for Nevada, but maybe this does end up being a bit of a benefit in their favor in the end. But yeah, 0 or 1 or just a handful of group one wins at the end of the season is not going to get it done for a top 2 or 3 seed.
All right. So anything else you'd add this week after we end on that note?
I don't think so. I think we covered quite a bit this week, but definitely make sure to tune into some games these following days, because we certainly have a good week.
Yeah, Tuesday, which I forgot to send assignments for, so look for those shortly, folks, if you're listening right in. I thought it was Wednesday, all Wednesday this week, but no, we got games Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday. Also, one thing we're doing, our buddy Eric Sanchez, who does the Lobo content for us, I'm quickly editing a piece real quick for him about he's going to keep track of our picks, Eli, so you got to be careful.
Oh, okay.
So that'll be up shortly. That'll probably go up. This is our first one for league play only. So, and I'm going to, that also puts pressure on me to email out the, hey, make your picks this week as well.
I did not have a good week.
So, I picked Mexico against the spread. So, boom, I got something right. Barely. But
I think I did too. But yeah, we'll see.
I'll look and see. It'll be posted this Monday afternoon at some point. But they'll probably go up every Sunday. And we'll keep a running total. So if you want to keep track of us, laugh at us, or say, hey, maybe I will put a few bucks on this guy's picks. This guy, person X, does really good picking.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So check him out all the time. Either the picks result, and they'll go up every day we have a game. So we basically make that like a pick post, and I reformat it to recaps and like some highlights. So check all that out. MWR.com is our website. If you like the podcast, please subscribe. Yes, not a question mark. Do subscribe to the show and let people know about it. And we'll be back probably every Sunday through league play. And we'll see you next time, folks.